This is Mel Rojas Jr. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
The year of the Tiger, the year of our Hanshin Tigers, which makes this the year of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I am the main H10 guy, you can call me main, T-Ray, and with me in Hawaii is Sanjay. How are you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. Welcome back. And you are most definitely the guy, da guy, maybe with a D-A, da guy. You're the guy.
Well, I couldn't do this show without you, and I appreciate you being here for this episode 155 of our podcast. Today is August the 28th. That would be a Sunday. And thank you for joining us today, everyone. We have got a great show for you, I hope. It's a little bit of a negative show, but we are going to look at which players could be sent packing at season's end, who we think needs to find other employment in 2023. Strap in and join us for a great ride. It is time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
First bit of news, Sanjay, is that yours truly, T-Ray, was in Canada for much of the month of August. You probably already knew that. Many of the listeners might have been aware of that or had an inkling of that if you've been following along, because I did write an article about attending a baseball game in Winnipeg. That would imply I was there and not here in Japan where I am now. So you might have caught that. So anyways, all that to say, I basically missed over 3 weeks of action. I did not watch any games. I don't think I even watched any highlights. I did check in on scores, but you have much more of an awareness of what was going on than I do. And so I wanted you to kind of fill us in at least on like a little bit of news here, if you could.
Certainly. And we will just go with some of the happier news to begin with. One was that our first pick from the Ikusei, the development draft from last year, a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago. Yuata was given his regular two-digit uniform number and signed as a real non-developmental actual squad roster player. And he's an alumnus of Kyushu Sangyo Daigaku, Kyushu, I guess, Industrial University. Kyushu Sangyo Daigaku is shortened to Kyusang a lot of times. And his number is number 93, which in Japanese is Kyusang. So he has a special affinity to the number. He's actually had to survive through Tommy John surgery as a college player. And so he had a long path back. The Tigers believed in him, picked him as a developmental player. He is now on the main roster after having pitched, 10 scoreless appearances. So we have high hopes that he's come back bigger, better, and stronger than before.
Yeah, congratulations to Iwata. As you may know, we had a pitcher named Iwata back in the day, Minoru Iwata, no relation here. We also had a number 93 with the first name Masaki very recently. That would be Masaki Ishii. Obviously, no relation there either. But that gives our roster its completion. The deadline for making any moves, plus or minus, was July the 31st. And that one came in, I believe, on the 25th of July. So congratulations to him. Also, he fills our roster in the sense that there's a 70-man cap on the roster, and he is man number 70 on this two-squad roster, if you will. Awesome, so that's the good news. I think you've got a little bit of bad news when it comes to something about the number 19, and we're not talking Fujinami here.
Sorry, you got me there.
COVID-19.
Oh, yeah, COVID-19. You know, at the beginning, when you had left for Canada, it was the Giants who had been decimated. I think the number was like 81 players at one point.
I think that's players and coaches, yeah.
Players, coaches, staff, whatever. It was like 81 people. They had
small village.
Postpone series and so on. And I think you had said it's only a matter of time, or I hope we can keep our guys safe. And unfortunately, that was not to be the case. And it wasn't just, you know, any old person, but we lost our top three hitters, shall we say, in Chikamoto, Nakano, and Oyama. And boy, did that really take the wind out of our sails and from our offense's perspective.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that, obviously, in the recaps that are coming a bit later on in the show. But, you know, we're not the only team to have gone through these hard times. I think there might be some teams that have not really experienced a lot of this, but I think every team has lost one or two players along the way. But having your number one, or I guess number two, three, and five hitters, if you look at
our
look at our current makeup, yeah, losing them all at once, I mean, that's some huge holes in the top of your order where you're expected to get many of your runs. And we'll see that clearly we didn't get very many runs without them. All right. So the other, I guess, thing that I want to address in the rumors and news section is what's going on with our foreigners, because as you know, we are allowed four up on the top squad, five, but only four on the bench on any given day. So what is the current situation? Well, among position players right now, we are left with just Mel Rojas Jr. And in the bullpen, we've got Kyle Keller and Raul Alcantara. So three guys registered on the top squad. What's going on with the other five? Pardon me, four, you might ask. A little certain something called COVID took out two of our pitchers. Well, we could argue that with Wilk, it wasn't just COVID that took him down. But Aaron Wilkerson and Joe Gunkel are both out with COVID. I would expect that at some point this season, they will come back. That being said, we do only have, 22 games left in the season. And for a pitcher to ramp back up after, 10 to 14 days of inactivity, it might take more than a week for either of them to come back. And by then, we might be down to 10, 15 games. So it's hard to tell if we're going to have either of those guys on the top squad the rest of the way. Hoping, but not banking on it. Jeffrey Marte, we're going to talk to... I wish we were going to talk to him. We will be talking about him, pardon me, in just a little bit as we talk about the farm, because he has been playing in games, which is good news because his leg had been bothering him for months. And A-Rod, Adderlin Rodriguez, just got sent down to the farm today, and that comes on the heels of an 0-for-30 stretch that he is currently in. So obviously not the way that you want to get sent down. And I get the feeling that if he was sent down, maybe Marte's coming up. And if that's the case, I don't know if we're going to see A-Rod anymore.
Yeah, I don't know either.
M's the breaks. Well, I'm still going to put number 91 on my special Gaijin's jersey that if you haven't seen, you got to have a look at. I have the numbers of every position player, import position player that the team has had since I became a fan. So 91 has got to make its way on there anyways. All right. Last thing I want to talk about are some of the call-ups and send-downs we've had of late, because this affects what our roster looks like today. So Kosuke Baba got called up and Kajiya got sent down. I believe that's also COVID-related. Haraguchi got called up at one point and Itoi got sent down. That definitely is COVID-related for Itoi. And then Kobayashi, right-handed reliever, got called up and Ishii got sent down. I don't think that's COVID, but I think he had a bad outing. Maybe it is COVID. Maybe it's fatigue. I'm not sure. He's had a great season so far, though.
Yeah, and there's been a bit of a pattern of people being sent down and then testing positive, or at least the team releasing that they tested positive. So I'm not sure if they maybe knew ahead of time or, waited to reveal it or whatever. But there's definitely a big overlap between send-ups, send-downs, and COVID, even though that wasn't necessarily announced up front.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning exactly that, because it reminds me that today Umeno got sent down, got deactivated because of some sinus issues, they said, or something to that of that nature. And there's suspicion that it might be COVID, but we're not 100% sure. So Umeno got sent down. Sakaeda, who is a fourth round draft pick the same year as Sato and Nakano and Itomasa were drafted, he got called up. Did not appear in today's game. I would like to see him appear in at least a game sometime soon.
Me too.
All right. Let's talk about the farm, though, right now, while we are at this, before we get into anything else.
Doing our best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see I can make my plays on the first team.
So the good news, my man, is that our farm team, despite, with all the COVID cases, this means that the number of players on the farm are fewer than they should be. We did have to cancel quite a few games because of that, just not being able to cobble together a roster or a lineup. for games. So despite that, our team on the farm is still 53, 33, and 3. Seem to like the number 3 there, except that we are in first place, not in third, and we are 2 games ahead of the SoftBank Hawks. So it is possible that we win the Western League again this year. That would be our second straight and our third in 5 years if we get it done. Not bad.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So hot hitters. Marte, as I promised, we're going to talk about him. He has hit a few Marte McFlys down there. He is batting 364 with, I believe, this is not precise, but this is as of, I think, like Friday, 459 on base percentage, 588 slugging. And then Obata, the shortstop slash second baseman, batting 311 with roughly a 350 OBP and a 419 slug. And then rookie, high school draftee, Hayato Nakagawa. You usually don't expect catchers to do very well at this young age, batting 282 with a 364 on base and a 403 slug. Interesting to see an 18-year-old catcher hitting that well.
Yeah, he's 18, right?
Yeah, he might have turned 19 already this year.
19,
he might not have,
I'm
not sure.
Yeah, 18, 19, but something
nevertheless,
like that.
Yeah, he was drafted or he joined the team at age 18. So, and he's in his first year. As for the pitching side, we have got, as always, it seems like Murakami is just constantly good on the farm, and just there's been no space for him to get called up. He is 6-3 with a 2.96 ERA. Steady, not outstanding. Akiyama also trying to get back from injury. Also, he tested positive for the Rona. He is 6-3 with a 2.41 on the farm. And then Kirishiki, our third round draft pick this past draft, is 4-1 with an ERA of about 0.9 on the farm. So those are the guys chomping at the bit. If you hear of any call-ups, those will probably be the next guys.
Well, here's the embarrassment of riches part, right? If Murakami with a 2.96 ERA were called up, he would actually raise the team average.
Yes, exactly. Our ERA on the top squad for pitchers, for starters, is tops. I think it's about 2.7. And for relievers, it's tops. And I think it's like 2.11. Just a killer year from our pitchers. Why do we have a losing record? Well, we'll get to that in the recaps. And before we do that, let's thank some of our patrons at patreon.com/thehanshintigers. You can join that party too if you go in there and support us for as little as $2 a month. You can get a shout out on this podcast. You can also be a guest on the podcast for a little bit of extra coin. We would love for that to happen. So go to patreon.com/thehanshintigers. We want to thank today Shane Barclay, who runs Japan Ball, and they've been doing some outstanding tours outside of Japan lately. I think they were in the Netherlands this month or last month. Pretty cool stuff. They met Rick Vandenhoek, former NPB star. Anyhow, we also want to thank Richard Geiwitz. We want to thank Tom Zilla from Being Kansai, Rick Silvers and Fran, who are on the digital platform, and then Michael Schulke on the Koshien tour, and Doug out there in the Netherlands. This show is only possible because of you fine folks. Thank you so much. Now onto the recap, Sanjay. The last time that we talked was one game before the All-Star break. In fact, I think we recorded just before the game started, something like that. And we were saying, yeah, the team is going to win this one and we're going to be at 500. We weren't wrong. We beat the Bay Stars 1-0 on that day, brought our record up to 500. And now we're going to breathe through because we've got a month's worth. So Sanjay, you stop me if you want to talk about any of the games in any of these series. I don't have a whole heck of a lot to say because I was in Canada for most of them. So we hosted the Swallows right after the All-Star break for our final Koshien series until the day after tomorrow. We still have not been back to Koshien since this series. We whomped them 6-0 and 7-3 before taking the knee in the Sunday game 2-4. And that one had a really sad ending, didn't it, Sanjay?
Yes, it did. And I was asleep for that ending. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know.
Maybe fortunately, just for your heart and for your mental health. The Tigers were up 2-0 and Murakami hit home runs in 3 straight at-bats, top of 7, top of 9, and top of 11, accounting for all 4 of their runs, and we lose. Murakami, if you have not been following, I don't like the guy just because of what he does to Tigers fans and pitchers. But he hit 3 straight in this game, and then the next game against the Dragons, he hit 2 more in his first 2 at-bats. So 5 straight at-bats with home runs is a new Japanese record. He is also right now on pace to practically tie the NPB record for most home runs in a season. He is on pace for the Triple Crown. Kid is 22 years old and tearing up this league. Hurry up and go to the majors, boy.
Yeah, so I think the talk is that if he were to stop playing the rest of the season now, he might still win the Triple Crown or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, he's comfortably ahead now in average at, like, 337, and there's no way anyone's going to come close to his 49 bombs, I think, and 117 RBI already. So, crazy.
So not to beat a dead horse, but in that, when we lost in the top of the 11th, in the 11th inning, fans were saying, what were you thinking pitching to him when he's hit two straight off your guys and you could have walked him?
Yeah, I think first base was open for that one too. I think they had a runner on second when he did that. So yeah, foolishness. Anyhow, we can use that in our Yano section a bit later on, but let's breeze through some of this other stuff. So we start our road of death at Tokyo Dome, where actually this team has been brought to life quite a bit. So we win 6-3 and 2-1, and then we take our first bagel of the month with an 0-7 loss in the third game of that series. Then we trek on to Hiroshima to face the Carp. We beat them 3-2, and we were, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Sanjay, we were leading 5-2 in the second game and lost it in the bottom of the ninth, walk off 6-5, and then we won the rubber match 7-5. So we took 2-3 from the Giants, 2-3 from the Carp. Not too bad. We're three games above 500 at this point.
Yeah, not bad at all. And fortunately for me, I was asleep for the sad loss in the middle too, so.
You got good timing then. Well, this is where it all begins, and maybe this is where the COVID cases started to pile up. We lost a bunch of guys, so we go into Yokohama, where typically we are bank, but we got robbed. Walk-off 3-2 loss, walk-off, pardon me, not walk-off, 0-3 loss, and then a 1-4 loss to cap that with a series sweep for them. They have swept us now in Yokohama three times this year already, I believe.
That's right. And so it used to be that they were Bank of Yokohama, but now they're collecting from us.
Yes. Yes. And we then host the Dragons at Kyocera Dome, where typically in the summer we're quite good, but we got shut out in the first two, 0-4, 0-2. And then again, we lost this one, I think in the ninth or in extra innings, but 4-5. So we got swept there. It's six straight losses now. We're back to three below 500. And it's only going to get worse because we go into Jingu Stadium and lose 3-5 to the Swallows and then 2-4 to the Swallows, making it an 8-game losing streak. And guess how many runs we scored in those 8 games? 12. Yeah.
That's not very good.
Not going to win very many games that way, right? Nope. So we make up for that with 10 runs the very next game to snap the streak, 10-2 win. And that is the beginning of some good times. We go back to Tokyo Dome. And this becomes the new bank because we beat them 4-0, 5-1, 6-1.
Yay, we swept the Giants at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, and that means during the road of death, we went 5-1 at Tokyo Dome. So pretty incredible stuff right there. Unfortunately, we go back to our usual, no offense, but no offense selves. yes, we're hosting the Bay Stars again. This is Kyocera Dome, where again we're usually good, but we lose 0-4 and 0-4, and now we are 0-8 hosting games at Kyocera Dome this season, if you'll recall. And you probably don't want to, but we open the season with three straight losses to the Swallows, including two shutout losses. So 0-8 with six shutout losses at the Dome.
Yeah, that's not pretty. And also, if you have the stats in there somewhere, we don't fare too well against Southpaws either. We had this horrible streak there.
Yeah, so it was at nine straight losses against Southpaws at this point, because that was Imanaga and Hamaguchi for the Bay Stars. By the way, T-Ray is back in Japan at this point. I actually got back the evening of the 10-2 win against the Swallows. And so when I got back, the team rattled off four straight wins. So you know what the missing ingredient was? It wasn't Nakano. It wasn't, Chikamoto and it wasn't Oyama. It was a certain English blogger and podcaster. It has to have been, right?
Yeah. And so you know what? From here on out, you can't leave the country.
That's right. That's right. I'm stuck in Japan until the Nipponichi, whenever that comes. So I might die in Japan without ever leaving. Okay. So let's not get morbid here. Where were we? Oh, we then blanked the Bay Stars to end the streak at Kyocera. It was a 5-0 win for us. And that brings us close to the end of the road of death. We've got a little bit more dying to do here in the series at Vantolin Dome against the Dragons, which just wrapped up like about a half hour ago. So we lost the opener against the lefty again, 2-5. That was against Ono, Yudai. Yeah. Oh, no, we died. And then we broke that streak against lefties the very next day because they had brought Olga Sawada against us and we beat them 5-1. So that finally ends. But today we reverted back to our sad Vantolin Dome selves, losing 1-4. We got that run in the top of the ninth with the bases loaded and no outs on a sac fly, and that was all we managed. There was a good chance for us to come back there, and we didn't because it's Vantolin Dome. One note to make on this game in particular, high school draftee Daichi Moriki made his debut. First inning, he gave up a soft grounder hit, and then after that, he was clean through the bottom of the fifth, allowing no hits. Looked unbeatable, and then he gave up three runs in the bottom of the sixth. I do have to add, though, that two of those runs, the last two of those, were on or with a drawn-in outfield. So it would have been an out if we had played smart. I hate drawn-in outfields always. I'm not just saying that because of, you know, hindsight. And they actually scored their fourth run also against a drawn-in outfield. So how you like that? This is what I got to say, and this is not my Yano, although we'll get to that soon. I feel like when you play the drawn-in outfield, and I could be wrong because I'm not a baseball guy, but you're basically playing the odds here, right? You're saying, okay, first of all, I'm going to assume that the pitcher is going to allow a hit and it's going to be a grounder that goes through the infield. That's the purpose of the drawn-in outfield, right?
Correct.
You want to stop that runner from on second base from making it all the way home by bringing your outfield so they can get to that ball faster, but you're also leaving all that real estate behind him wide open for what would normally be, you know, a can of corn type of out. If they can just hit the ball as hard as they can, even if they're feeble Chunichi Dragons, which they are, they're going to get it past our outfield. And they got it past Chikamoto and Shimada. So, you know, these guys are no slouches with the wheels. They still couldn't get back to them. So, problem with that. Anyhow, that rant is done. We'll rant a little bit more in a bit. Just to say right now, we are 58-61-2. That means we have now played 121 games. We are in third place, 5.5 behind the Bay Stars because they haven't played yet today, and 1.5 ahead of the Giants because they haven't played today either. But either way, we'll be in third place when you listen to this podcast, as long as you listen to it soon after we release.
Is that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
So, with a month of baseball there and a whole lot of bagels and a whole lot of like coulda won, shoulda won, what's going on types of games, do you have a Yano that stands out more than the others, Sanjay?
Oh, man, you want me to pick just one?
Well, we don't want the show to be going for like another hour here. So, yes.
Well, since we already talked about not walking Murakami in extra innings, I want to go with I don't understand how he does his weird substitution patterns, which I can't see the logic of any of it, no matter how hard I try. And that's like sometimes you flip Itohara and Kinami at third and second base. Sometimes you're flipping, I guess, Oyama and Yokawa between right and first. Uh-huh. I mean, where's the logic in any of this? I mean, obviously, you know, the coaches might be seeing something in practice. But to me, and given history, there's a lot of head scratching, large question marks popping over my head in cartoon style all over the place.
There are lots of people scratching their heads and with those same question marks above their heads, cartoon style. And we see that in all sorts of columns. I do want to point out, and we talked about this just before the record, that Mr. Tao, a columnist, former Tigers player and former Eagles manager, right? Did say, what are you doing, Yano? Like what you need to do when you pencil in that lineup is you start with number four, Sato at third base, number five, Oyama at first base, and you go from there and you don't change that. Yeah. And as for other guys on the roster that he's shuffling around, like, okay, I kind of get that nobody is so good that they are exclusive at any position or anything like that. But I think it's just time to cut the versatility game and find positions for these guys that they can stay in and thrive at, because you're giving these guys too much to think about by you know, jostling them around in the lineup, not only in the batting order, but also where they are in the field. It's just hard. And on that note, maybe you noticed this, but I think it was just 2 days ago in the 5-2 loss to the Dragons. Didn't Sato play at second base?
Sato played at second base.
Yes. Okay. Crazy. Stop it. Yano, I shouldn't be happy that you're leaving in a month, but you're starting to make me happy. So next manager, whoever you are, you listen to me. I'm serious here. I'm saying yoroshiku because I want to get off on the right foot with you, but you listen to me. Don't move Sato and Oyama for anything, please. Okay. So my Yano then is this. We swept the Giants and Rojas actually did quite well and he's had a great August. And we're going to get to that in our players of the month or players of the summer in just a second. But why did you bench Rojas against left-handed pitching of the Bay Stars? This is earlier this week on Tuesday and Wednesday when he was riding the hot hand and actually he's hitting quite well from the right side of the plate. I just don't understand. And the result speaks for itself. We got no points in either of those games, no runs. So you keep Rojas in now, Yano. I'm serious again. You listen to me. Kiteru ka? Okay, that's it. My anger has boiled over. It's time for us to take a short break. We'll get back to the players of the summer in just a second.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month.
So my man, since we missed July, basically we recorded last, I think it was on July the 24th. So we didn't name a player of the month for July and we are almost at the end of August. It feels weird to name one for July now and one for August next show. So let's just do it as the players of the summer. I want to look at some outstanding pitching and some outstanding hitting that you think is worth mentioning in this segment. So I'm going to let you go first and let's start with our hitters. Who have you got as somebody that had a pretty darn good summer for the Hanshin Tigers?
Well, see, I don't know. You probably have the same thing that I have in terms of like somebody's good in July, but not good in August. Or somebody's good in August or August, but not in July.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of going to go with an H10 kind of a pick.
Okay.
I'm going to say the player of the summer is Mel Rojas Jr.
I like you. Actually, he was one of my guys too. So explain it a little bit in a little bit more detail, if you don't mind.
Sure. I don't mind at all. So his July wasn't anything to write home about. He hit 250 and had one home run.
And only 19 plate appearances the whole month.
19 plate appearances, yeah. So he wasn't played very much is what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
But in August, in 18 games, he hit at a 352 clip. Four home runs, 12 RBIs. Basically, the man was money when he was allowed to play. And he actually hit for better average from the right side, which they said was his issue.
Yeah, and also his OPS is over 1,000 for the month, so he's not quite Murakami territory, because I think his OPS is somewhere around like 4,500 or something right now. Just kidding. But yeah, good month from Mel. Definitely a worthy pick, and I will agree wholeheartedly with that, because as I said, he was one of my guys. So my guy that I'm going to name is someone that maybe hasn't gotten a lot of mention, and I haven't even looked at his numbers. So, but actually, it's kind of a similar story in that his July was not that great, and his August was. He had a good June, and that would be number 53, Kairi Shimada, who in July only batted 197, and he only stole two bases with an OPS of just 476, so pretty awful. But in August, well, let's not count today because today he had a bad game, but he was batting 315 with six stolen bases and an OPS of 717. And the number that I like the best there is that his batting average with runners in scoring position was 529 on the month. So woo-hoo! Pretty darn good. Yeah, this is a guy that honestly I had zero or next to zero expectations for at the start of the season. The only thing that maybe clued me in was that when I talked to Mel Rojas for the first time, and I think this was last year, and I said, hey, who excites you on the farm? He did mention Shimada at that time.
So That's pretty good. That was the only hint.
Yeah. And so these two guys and the guy that I interviewed and the guy that he mentioned are both getting it here for the guys of the summer in 2022. Not too bad. Let's move on to the pitching side of things.
Yeah.
So who have you got as pitchers that need to be mentioned in this segment?
Again, similar story. You know, you pick the good month or the bad month. Can I go? I guess I'll go with a low-hanging fruit and give you the more, what is it? Newsworthy one.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Yuki Nishi as the pitcher of the summer.
Okay.
He actually won the pitcher of the summer for, or the pitcher of the month for July, right? He was 3-0 with an 0.66, or I should say 0.66 ERA. It's so sick, it's low. In August, he's a 2-2 record with 2.84 ERA. That's, you know, by any other team standards, it's still pretty awesome.
And apparently he's going to get one more start because they say that he'll probably start on the 30th because he had a start cut short because of blisters or something, finger issues.
Yeah, it was just because of blister issues. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll get one more chance to lower that 284. But even a 284 is not bad. It is above average for Hanshin, but it's still pretty solid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Pretty good. I'm not going to argue with that, but actually I've got two other guys then that I feel need to be mentioned. And one of them would be a guy that, man, we couldn't be more excited about how he has turned things around for himself. He actually did not have any appearances in July, and that was in part because of COVID-19, I believe. But you know where I'm going then. And that would be Shin-chan,
exactly
number 19. Yeah, COVID-19, but Shin-chan 19, outstanding for us, has started 4 games in the month of August. Has gone 2-1, and that one loss, don't be fooled. He did not deserve it. I think he went 7 innings, 1 run against for the loss. He was a victim in one of those shutout losses for us. But for the month of August, he has thrown 27 1/3 innings, struck out 29 in that stretch, walked 3. He sometimes walks 3 in one inning on his bad days, but 27 innings, 3 walks. One wild pitch. And again, this is a guy that's plenty wild. And 5 runs against. So how do you like them apples? His whip was 0.84 in that stretch as well. I don't think that he will get pitcher of the month because the guys that choose this, I don't know if they've ever chosen a starter who got fewer than 3 wins in a month. And he's only got 2 this month. So I kind of doubt he'll get it, but he's quite worthy if you ask me.
Let me add one more thing is that all 4 of his starts were quality starts.
Right. The last 3, at least, he has gone exactly, I think, 7 innings and maybe 1 run against in all 3 of them. Or maybe it was a 7-0 in there as well.
Well, I see. More than 6 runs. So all 4 were quality.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. So that's one.
He's
and then
back.
The other one that we got.
Shin-chan is back.
Yeah. Shin-chan is back. Yeah. And so that's a much needed piece of our rotation. Love it. Welcome back. Welcome back, Shin-chan. We missed you. The other guy that we got to mention, how can we not give props to Kyle Keller, KK, who has allowed 0 runs in the months of July and August, and that would be in 9 innings pitched, 2 hits against, 14 strikeouts in those 9 innings. And in July, nobody got a hit against him. In August, batters are hitting 105 against him. Yeah, just crazy good stuff out of him. Think about it. This is a guy that started his season with a 33.75 ERA or 33.25 ERA, one or the other.
Yeah.
Now his ERA is a clean 3.
Yep. And so I wanted to figure out a way to get Dr. KK in there somehow. The one thing that I maybe should have mentioned in Rumors and News is that obviously he was brought in to be the closer, and a lot of people agree that he should be the closer, but there are some coaches' comments saying, well, Iwasaki has done so much for the team, and even though he's hitting a rough patch, they're like, they want to give him his chances to pad his stats, which I took to mean like, okay, well, if it's a safe situation, then Iwasaki might get the chance ahead of Kyle. And to wit, I think most recently he pitched in a non-save situation.
Right. And actually, Keller did get a save at some point during the month of August as well.
Yeah, he did get one. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, that's an issue that we could discuss at length. I'll just leave it at this. I think probably for the rest of the season, we're not going to touch what is happening here as far as the ninth inning guy is probably going to be Iwazaki the rest of the way. I guess I'm okay with that because even though he does get hit quite a bit, he also finds a way to shut the door quite well. But I do think in 2023, we have got to bring back Keller and we've got to make him our closer.
Agreed. He's got some zip those pitches.
Crazy good. All right. Let's get into the next segment, which is the hot topic.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So as promised at the start of the show, it is going to be maybe a little bit of a kind of darker episode where we talk about the downside. Some of these guys that aren't having good seasons that maybe need to find a new line of work in 2023, because I'm tired of paying their salaries with all the tickets that I buy. That's sarcasm. You know what? Okay, so one of my pet peeves is when fans say, well, we should sign this guy back, but he should definitely get a pay cut. And it's like, well, I get it. You don't think he deserves that same pay, but you're not paying his check anyways. So what do you care? You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of like, you don't have to put that condition on it. I would rather put the condition of, well, you sign that guy back, but don't promise him playing time or don't give him a spot in the rotation or whatever it is. That to me makes more sense. Anyhow, let's run down why we're doing this segment and what is the deal. As we said earlier in the show, teams have a 70-man limitation on their roster. That includes just registered players. So you can have any number of guys as development players as you want. I think we started this year with 8 development pitchers and we're down to 4 because 2 have gotten bumped up and I think 2 have gone away, or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. So Watanabe made the move up, as did Iwata, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyhow, the bottom line is those guys, whether we cut those development pitchers or not, does not affect the 70-man roster. But the reason we need to make room for other players is that the draft will be coming up on October the 20th. And in order to draft and sign players, you need to be below that number 70. And generally, I've noticed that players who are going to retire tend to announce that retirement around the start of September when there's still about a dozen games left in the year. That gives them fans a chance to get to more games to see them. And it also gives the team a chance to think further ahead about the upcoming draft as well. So we can start there. Do you think that anybody on this team is going to announce their retirement? And the only guy, I could be wrong here, the only guy that I think might realistically do it is Itoi, but I don't even think he's going to do it. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly the one that I had in mind too. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If we had been in first place and won it all, so hey, that's still a possibility. If we win the Japan Series and Itoi gets some playing time, I think he might ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I suppose so. Yeah.
That would be a fitting goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think he's still got some fuel in the tank, and he really hasn't been injured much this year. They have rested him because, just to keep him strong the whole year. And then he also got COVID. But actually, that's made him more active on social media, which has been kind of fun. Anyhow,
it has been fun. Yeah.
I really feel like he still wants to keep playing. He's having a great time. I think the team enjoys having him there. And definitely, like, now that he's not that $4 million albatross, I don't think even fans mind having him there as well, because he's not, hurting the payroll, which, again, I don't think fans really have the right to complain about how much players are being paid, because we're not paying the bill. Anyhow, the next oldest position players on the team would be, as far as Japanese guys, would be like the Umeno class of 91. That includes Yokawa as well. So 31 years old. So I don't think anybody that's that age or younger is going to be announcing their retirements. And then even on the pitching staff, we don't really have a lot of guys that are in their mid to late 30s. Like, I can't even name you who our oldest guy is, because there just doesn't seem to be a lot of age in there.
That's true, isn't it? I'm just looking at the roster now.
We're a young team. So that said, though, I do think, though, that, there are players that need to be cut. And Yano, actually, I'm reading a Yano book right now currently. It's kind of an interesting one. But he did say that when he started as manager of the farm team back in 2018, he said, look, some of you guys are going to get cut at season's end. That's the reality of this business. And you can't really control that. But what you can control is how hard you work this year to make sure you're not one of them, and how you might feel at the end if you are one of them. Like, are you going to go out saying, I went down swinging or not, right? So that those were kind of his words for them. And so I think a lot of these names that we're going to name in this segment may end up being guys that are on the farm that some of our listeners who aren't hardcore Tigers fans may not have even heard of. But nevertheless, let's go over some of the names that of guys that might not make it into 2023. Let's start with the pitchers. And like, if you want, you can name some. And if you've got none, then I can just dive right in with the guys that I think could be chopped.
Yeah, well, there's just one name that I have, and it's not even because I have a lot of insider's knowledge into it or anything.
Okay.
But I was a little bit questionable when we got him in the first place, and we heard a little bit from him, and then not anymore. So, Niho.
Oh, I've got him on my list as well. Yes, Niho was traded away by the SoftBank Hawks. We gave up Nakatani, who was a one-time potential slugger. Hasn't amounted to much over there, and Niho hasn't amounted to much over here. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him gone either. Just for the record, he is 32 years old and will be 33 just after the start of next season. So he's not too old, but he certainly has not performed particularly well. And even down on the farm, he's not having himself a necessarily outstanding season with an ERA of 3.24. So yeah, that could be the end of him. Another guy that we acquired, and this was actually compensation for when Yamato went over to the Bay Stars, was a player named Onaka. He wears number 40. He's a right-handed pitcher, short guy, has not really been called up very much. I think he made it up once this year, but his ERA on the farm is 3.32. And he has now been with the team, I think, since 2018. So count that out, 5 seasons, and has maybe made it into a total of like 15 top squad games in those 5 seasons. I just think it's time to cut him loose and make way for a younger guy that might have better potential than him.
Sounds good.
And a third pitcher that I have. So I only have 3 pitchers as far as domestic products that I think might get chopped. And that would be, unfortunately, the former student of one of my colleagues. And it would be number 43, Moriya. So my colleague taught him back in junior high. But anyhow, he is doing even worse than the last two we mentioned, with a 7.36 ERA down on the farm. He has really only had one good season on the top squad, and I think that was 2019, when he appeared in like 50 games and had a clean ERA of 3. Looked good, but I mean, since then, that means 3 straight years, he has done very little to contribute to the top squad. And he's still not super old. I think he's like around 28.
Yeah.
But this is also his 8th season. So yeah, when you've only had 1 good season out of 8, I think it's time to say goodbye. It's unfortunate. And then I think as far as the development guys, I think we might cut Kawahara, a lefty. He's still quite young. I think he's like 21, 22, but in 4 years, he's done 0. And then Maki as well, who's about the same age. I mean, they're both guys, again, that we could just hang on to as development players, but they could be done as well. Okay, so let's now look at the position players. And do you have any guys on a list that you think might not be employed by the Hanshin Tigers in 2023?
Yeah, I unfortunately do. And we touched upon one, I guess, earlier in sort of Itoi might be somewhat primed for that particular fate. But to your point, yeah, if his salary rolls off and he's definitely a crowd favorite and a team favorite, bench favorite, keep him around. I am sad to say that I'm afraid the guy I liked a lot and a former rookie of the year, Shun Takayama, might be not with the team after this year.
Ah, see, I've made a separate list of guys that I think have one more year left. Like, they are hanging on by a thread, and he is one. And the reason for that is that he injured his shoulder maybe this season and missed about 2 months of action. And I kind of feel like that may have impeded him from trying to complete a comeback. And the team might see that and say, oh, well, he is a first round draft pick, and let's just give him one more year. So that's my feeling on Takayama. But I'm with you that, you know, we're pretty much coming to the end of his time as a Tiger. I'm going to put some at least 2 that are fairly unknown quantities as far as the casual fans go. And those would be catcher Katayama, who started as a development player and has made it up to the top squad, had a couple at bats, but that's it. In, I think, 4 years now, that's all he has amounted to. I don't know. They might keep him on because you can't really have too many catchers, I don't think. I think you kind of need three on the top and three on the bottom at the very least. And I think right now we have exactly six. So they might keep him for that reason. I'm also going to, though, say goodbye to Itayama, who was drafted the same year as Takayama in 2015 and has amounted to minimal help in every season. Like, I don't think he's had any season where we'd be like, well, you know, he did have that one year, because there isn't really that one year for him. But he has done a little bit every year, just very little. And the third guy would be a guy that actually is on the top squad right now that I just have not been fond of for a number of years, and that would be Yokawa.
He was on my list too, actually.
There you go.
That would be too controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially like I said, I mean, he's on the top squad. Generally speaking, if a guy is on the top squad now, unless they've brought him up just to give him that one final chance, or either that one final chance or just the chance for him to say farewell to the fans, generally guys aren't on the top squad at the end of August. So he's probably going to be around, but I just don't really think I want him around anymore. Okay, and then finally, let's quickly look at, and we might do this in more detail on another show, but our imports. So as I said, we've got seven imports on the team, and that would be because Chen actually was set free midway through the season, if you'll remember that. So that leaves us with currently four pitchers and three position players. On the staff, we have got Joe Gunkel, Aaron Wilkerson, Raul Alcantara, and Kyle Keller. And in the field, we have got Jeffrey Marte and Mel Rojas Jr., and Adderlin Rodriguez. Are you sending any of these guys packing?
I want to keep them all.
That's how I feel every year, but realistically, this year, I don't want to keep them all. Okay, well, I'll be the mean guy then, and tell you why I think some of these guys have to go. Marte has had one healthy year out of four. I just don't feel like we can count on him to stay healthy. His legs are just like ticking time bombs, and you just never know which hit, which time that he runs around the bases or whatever is going to cause him to be out for a month, month and a half, 2 months at a stretch.
Too unpredictable time. Like the most recent time he came up to the top squad and got a single. And mm-hmm.
I think he had two hits, two RBIs, and then that was it. So yeah, goodbye Marte. I think A-Rod too. Again, mid-season signings, we tend not to expect a lot from as fans, and I think even the front office and the management don't really sign these guys with the intention of keeping them around for another year. So I think he could be on his way out as well. I do think we need to keep Mel Rojas Jr., especially in light of how well he has been playing of late. Also an outstanding guy, good presence on the bench. I just like him.
No, I agree. I like Mel. Well, obviously Mel should not be cut loose at all. For A-Rod, I would like to add that he had a tremendous first week.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of like seemed to move away from what he was doing. In the beginning, he was like hitting straight up center and to the opposite field. And then when he slumped, he started pulling everything.
Yeah.
And
a lot of double plays.
If he goes back to his initial inclinations, you know, he might be able to put up some better numbers.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to do it in Japan, though. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
All right. And then as far as the pitchers go, I unfortunately think that we will probably cut Wilkerson and Alcantara loose. Neither of them terrible. If you look at their numbers, I think both of their ERAs are somewhere around four. But again, on a staff where the average is, the ERA average is about 2.5, they're just not cutting it. And again, I'm not saying this because of the money, but this is kind of the front office stance. You know, you're bringing in guys for $1 million+. You expect them to produce at a level that is, at the very least, equal to your good Japanese players. If not, you know, they should be helping lead the team. And these guys are maybe doing the opposite, bringing them down a little bit. Alcantara's had 2 years chance, and he hasn't been terrible yet, but he also hasn't been outstanding. And Wilkerson, after a great month, he won Pitcher of the Month, his first full month in Japan.
Exactly.
Has not been very good at all since. I'd love for him to turn it around. I just don't know if there's time for him to do it.
Yeah, at the moment, Alcantara has a 3.82 ERA and Wilk has a 4.08 ERA on the top squad.
Right, right. And so that means, though, that, I mean, look at how Keller's been pitching. There's no reason not to keep him around. And then also Joe has been really good this year, last year. And there's no reason that we don't want to see his daughter grow up in Japan and see him on the Koshien Mound.
Agreed.
So I'm saying, like, sign him to multi-year deal. It's kind of unusual for foreigners, but he has proven himself for three seasons. I think he's worthy. Okay, real quick, I also want to mention guys that I think are down to their last chance or that I would like to see either put up or shut up in 2023. And that includes Takayama, as you mentioned earlier, but I've got some other names on here that at the risk of being unpopular, might have people turning off this show and unsubscribing. Please don't. That would be Haraguchi is my first one. I just don't know like what his role is anymore. He's getting up there in age as well. He'll be 31 next year, and he's not getting starting playing time anymore, I don't think.
Well, he did contribute lately.
Yeah, a little bit lately. I would say still minimally. He still hasn't really done a ton. But again, I'm giving him that one more year of chance, because if he can return to the 2018 pinch hitter he was, then welcome to stay. If not, I don't know. Itohara. Again, this is a guy that gets tons of playing time, but he's not an outstanding hitter. He is not hitting doubles very much anymore. He's not hitting line drives very much anymore. He is not walking very much anymore. He is not good on defense. He's not speedy. What's his use? I know. I mean. Other guys, kind of in a similar situation, they're also middle infielders, would be Hojo and Kinami. I've got basically the same thing to say about them.
Yeah, I actually have Hojo on that list too.
So desperate for some middle infielders. And as we mentioned in our last show, you can go back and listen to it. There are three second basemen potentially becoming free agents this offseason, all from the Pacific League, all of whom are welcome to join the Tigers. If we sign all three, I'd be okay, but we won't. Anyhow. and two pitchers that I have on the, hey, you better step up or it's going to be time to say goodbye, would be Baba and Ono. So these are two guys that we had high hopes for. We drafted very high in the drafts. They're still fairly young, but they just really have not panned out at all. So I think 2023 could be their last chance.
So much potential.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why it hurts to do shows like this. But, you know, these are topics that need to be talked about, because this stuff is going to be rolling around in the news on upcoming shows for us, perhaps, or certainly if not, then in the newspapers and the interwebs for all of you out there. All right. So now it is time for us to do a little bit of predicting.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
As we mentioned, the road of death is over. Actually, Tuesday, August the 30th, will be our first game at Koshien since the end of July. We're hosting the Carp for three and the Giants for three. And then the very next week, we're hosting the Swallows for two as well. So we've got an 8-game homestand coming up. Looking forward to that. Then we go into Yokohama for our last two road games out there of this season. Let's finally win some games out there, guys, please. And then and we might record the show after that. If not, then we've got two at Koshien against the Dragons that we might squeeze in before the next recording. Not really sure. So that gives us a total of 12 games, 10 or 12 games, depending how we look at it. Let's predict the 12, though. So like I said, three against the Carp at home, three against the Giants at home, two against the Swallows at home, two against the Dragons at home, and two on the road against the Bay Stars. Full buffet.
I'm going with 8-4.
We darn well better go at least 8-4. We are right now pretty much a 667 team at Koshien. So not at Kyosera, of course, but at Koshien Stadium, we are winning roughly 2/3 of our games. So
and we're not playing at Kyosera in this 12 games.
Anymore. We're done with anymore. Kyosera until 2023. Yes. So
good riddance.
So 10 out of our next 12 are going to be at Koshien. So I would say like we should be able to win 7 of those. And then I would love for us to win 2 out of 2 against the Bay Stars. You know, they're getting whacked around by the Swallows, so maybe that might take some wind out of their sails. So let's go for two there. I'm going to say 9-3. Big prediction. Woo-hoo! 9-3. Okay. There you go. Put that in bed. Thank you for tuning into H10 once again. If you have not gotten your fill of me, Sanjay, and Hunting Tigers English News, check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits. Check out the website. Go to Twitter at the Hunting Tiger. Go to Instagram at Hunting Tigers English News. YouTube, search Hunting Tigers English News. And Facebook is also Hunting Tigers English News. Details for all of that are in the show notes. Special thanks to Silent Partner for the theme music and show, The Pod Mixer. Appreciate it, show. Thank you, Sanjay, for joining once again. Thank you, everyone. We are back as H10.
Thanks to everyone. Thanks to you, Ray. Go Hunshin Tigers.
Go Tigers. Catch you all next time.